get his teeth into, but we better talk to him first. Welcome to you, Ange. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Now, let's talk tomorrow night firstly, because it is a massive game. Are you just telling the boys we're happy to play in Newcastle and not even worrying about addressing it, or have you told those in power, never again, boys, we've got to be better than this?
Oh, look, I guess from a competitive aspect, well, you know, there's a game to be played, and there's going to be a sellout here tomorrow night, and, you know, we've just had a run on the pitch, and the pitch is good, which is probably the most pleasing thing for me. You know, overall, I think maybe they have underestimated the power of this tournament, and there's definitely a lesson in that.
South Korea and Iraq tonight, you're keeping an eye on that, obviously. What do you do? Do you go there with a pen and paper? Do you have your own forward scouts who you trust? Do you take your whole team there to watch them?
No, look, I think with how's been tomorrow night, I'm watching it as just a supporter tonight. I think, you know, we'll have a team of people obviously analysing everything that happens out there. But, you know, all my staff and myself and the players, our focus is on tomorrow night. There's plenty of people we've got working on it that, you know, after tomorrow night, wherever the cards fall, we'll be ready for whatever the next stage is.
It's just another classic reminder that sport is unpredictable, given the amount of people that tried to throw tacks underneath your tyres, Ange, because you won't be able to beat Japan in the semi-final because you rested blokes, and yet Japan didn't rest anybody. They didn't even make it to the semi-finals, and you're up against UAE.
Yeah, look, I mean, Jared, I mean, how many times do the top four seeds get to a semi-final in any sport? Mm. I mean, you know, I think, you know, people sort of start projecting things like that. You know, we've been pretty focused on just making sure that, we wanted to get to this stage, but whoever we're going to meet, and whether it was Japan or it happens to be the UAE, we wanted to be in the best possible condition for it. And, you know, that third game against Korea, we knew we'd qualified, and we thought it was a great opportunity to throw some guys who hadn't played a lot of football in and really, you know, take the game to a really good opponent. And, you know, from our perspective, the outcomes were mostly positive. Yeah, we would have loved to have won the game because you always want to win. But in terms of where it puts us right now, we're in a pretty good space.
Was there some negative knee-jerk reactions to that? And yet those same people who at this stage are absolutely remaining nameless, they appear to not have remembered the lessons that no doubt you did with your World Cup campaign, where you probably overcooked a couple by not rotating.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I made it quite clear that, you know, we played that last game against Spain at the World Cup very much on empty, and that was because, you know, we relied on a core group of players. And then, to be fair, we didn't have, I didn't feel we had the depth to spread it across the group. And, you know, we've spent 6 months rectifying that situation first by creating some depth, by throwing young players and new players into the international arena so that, you know, we could learn from that. So that was the first part of the process. And obviously that affected our form and our results in the last 6 months, but it was all for a purpose. And, you know, I had 23 really good players who had already been exposed to international level coming into this tournament. And then the next part of that was to make sure we use as many as possible of them. And look, it's worked well so far for us from the point of view that, as I said, I think out of all the sort of semi-finalists, we look the strongest from a physical perspective anyway.
Some coaches in the game I played would have choked on the cornflakes this morning when they saw Robbie Crews claiming favouritism and Trent Salisbury basically lighting a fire under the UAE's number one player, saying or being interpreted as saying lazy and arrogant. Is it a different set of rules, or are the boys just guilty of a bit of loose lips?
I just think it's a different world we live in, Jared. I mean, you know, everything, you know, we live in a world where everything that's said and everything that's, every action that's done is pretty much somebody's there to record it. And, you know, young people today, I guess, have this ability to just say what's on their mind. And I don't worry about it too much. I think for the most part, what we have made sure is that, you know, we're very respectful of the opposition in our preparation. And, you know, internally, we play due respect to every opponent we played, and we certainly will do that tomorrow. The boys are obviously feeling good about themselves, which is, I guess, a positive thing. But, you know, within this group, you know, the language is very, very different, and certainly from our perspective, we're not underestimating the opposition at all.
Yeah, I love it, and let's hope it does filter into the AFL. Ange, saw a good article on the weekend saying why Tim Cahill is Australia's best footballer, any code. Tell us why he's Australia's best soccer player ever?
Look, I just, I mean, you know, you look at him and as I've said pretty consistently in the last 14 months, I think for that sort of purpose of in the box at the moment, I think he's just world class. He's almost unstoppable. You tell me who the best defender in the world is, and if you asked him to go one on one with Tim Cahill in the penalty box, I just think anyone would be nervous. And just his ability to, you know, for the big occasion, you know, apart from a freakish ability to Instagram every moment of his life, he just every time he gets near the ball in the box, it just goes in the net. And look, he's a great ambassador as well. He's been a real good mentor to this group. You know, we pretty much gutted the team 14 months ago, and the senior players who were left were going to be crucial to anything I was trying to achieve. And him and Milo Jednak and Bresciano, Milligan, Mackay, I mean, they've really driven this young group really well.
Milo, the captain, looked a little bit rusty, needed some extra minutes, I think, before he reaches his best. But have you settled on your format for the upcoming match tomorrow night, or will there be some late changes?
No, well, we literally just got off the train track, and yeah, everyone's good, which is the pleasing thing. So, yeah, I'll pretty much settle on the team now. We'll tweak it again with a couple of changes because, again, you know, we're looking at a different opponent, and we're also looking at, you know, where everyone else is in the physical sense. So there won't be, you know, as many changes as we made to the last couple of games, but there'll be a couple there, and yeah, Milo will definitely be part of it. And as you said, I think he, you know, by the end of the game, he really grew into it in the quarterfinal. So I'm expecting a big one from him tomorrow night.
Any chance you could whip Nick Kyrgios into the forward half somewhere?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's great. I love this time of year, mate. It's yeah, there's always an Aussie doing something remarkable, and luckily we're part of that journey. So no. Great to see.
That's the beauty of having an Australian coach in charge of the Socceroos, Jerry. He's got an Australian perspective on it. Love your work, Ange Postecoglou, Socceroos coach.